Well, good morning, everybody. It's a great pleasure to be here with you guys today. And from what I understand, you all have been talking about worship for the last several weeks. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you've been worshiping and you've been chatting about it. So I thought it might be helpful to start with a worship song. I know we've had three already, but I've got one that I want to share with you. But it's a slightly ridiculous worship song, if that's okay. Do you mind? And it also requires you to do something slightly ridiculous as a part of it. The first thing it requires you to do is to take your thumb and to jam it in your armpit. Okay? Just do that, okay, if you're able, you know, if you're in the mood, okay? Okay. Now take your other thumb and stick it in your other armpit. Try not to cross your thumbs, you know, just stick it in the armpit on the same side as that thumb. That's good. Okay. Now you may find when you've done that, you look a bit like a chicken, all right? And that's exactly where the song begins, okay? And I will teach you the song line by line, and we will worship God through it, all right? Are you ready? Here we go. It goes, God made the chickens and the cows and the bees. Can you try that? God made the chickens and the cows and the bees. Lovely. God made the flowers and the shrubs and the trees. God made the flowers and the shrubs and the trees. God made the tops and the bottoms and the knees. God made the tops and the bottoms and the knees. And God made me. And God made me. Lovely, let's put it all together. Here we go. God made the chickens and the cows and the bees. God made the flowers and the shrubs and the trees. God made the tops and the bottoms and the knees. And God made me. And that feels great, doesn't it? Somebody points to you and says, God made you. He loves you. You're special. You're unique. It feels great. But you know what? God also made the person sitting next to you. Yes. And they're just as treasured and just as precious. So turn to that person sitting next to you and say, God made you. Then say, you're amazing. And then say, I thank God for you. Absolutely. So it's not just about me. It's about you. So that's why we need a second verse in the song. So it goes like this. It goes, God made the alligator and the kangaroo. Here we go. God made the alligator and the kangaroo. God made the elephant and the pygmy shrew. And a pygmy shrew is the tiniest animal, maybe not the tiniest animal, but it's very small indeed. So here we go. God made the elephant and the pygmy shrew. Oh, that was beautiful. Well done. God made the mountains and the valleys in Peru. God made the mountains and the valleys in Peru. And God made you. And you pointed at somebody. And God made you. Now let's put it all together. Here we go. God made the chickens and the cows and the bees. God made the flowers and the shrubs and the trees. God made the tops and the bottoms and the knees. And God made me. Next bit. God made the alligator and the kangaroo. God made the elephant and the pygmy shrew. Oh, one more time. God made the mountains and the valleys in Peru, and God made you. Now get this. You may be tall, you may be small, it doesn't matter one bit. God looks at you and announces to the world, what a star, what a picture, what a hit. Here we go. God made the chickens and the cows and the bees. God made the flowers and the shrubs and the trees. God made the tops and the bottoms and the knees, and God made me. Next bit. God made the alligator and the kangaroo. God made the elephant and the pygmy shrew. Ooh, ooh. God made the mountains and the valleys in Peru, and God made you. Well done, everybody. Good job. Excellent. That was fantastic. Now, I understand that your journey through worship has been partly led by a book that was written by a friend of mine called Whole Life Worship. Is that right? Yeah? And Sam's a good buddy. As a matter of fact, we're going to be together at Spring Harvest working with the All Age Group in a couple of weeks' time. And there is something that Sam says in there that I think is very important. And that's this. Worship doesn't start with us, does it? Worship starts with God. Yeah. God does something, and in response, we honor and we worship him. And I'll tell you what, we do it in three ways, which is the other thing I like about the book. We do it up and down. So we offer our praise and our worship to God. We do it side to side as we worship him together in a community. And we worship out as well into our wider community as our lives become acts of worship in the world. And with that in mind, I would like to do a story about what God did. As a matter of fact, it's a story that's pretty much about everything that God has done. Well, not absolutely everything, but quite a lot. Okay? So we've celebrated his creation. We're going to do that again, and we're going to do a few other things as well as we go through the story. But in order to do this one, I need your help again. I need you to hold your hands just like that. Because there's a little chorus here. Apologies to those of you who are drinking your coffee. All right? So the chorus goes, worship God. Yeah? Worship God. There we go. Love one another. Love one another. Take care of the world. Make good use of the world. Sorry. Make good use of the world. So let's try it together. Put it together. Worship God. Love one another. Make good use of the world. Let's do it again. Here we go. Worship God. Love one another. Make good use of the world. Can you see the three directions? Yeah? Worship God. Love one another. Make good use of the world. So here we go. At first, there was nothing but God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, the original us. And so he made the world. And his voice was like a pair of hands. Day one, light and dark. Day two, sea and sky and space. Day three, earth hard as rock, and from the earth, green growing things. Day four, sun and moon and stars. Day five, a sea animals and sky animals. Day six, land animals. Bunnies are all I can do. And finally, best of all, man and woman made in God's image, made for relationship with him, made to be an even bigger us. And God looked at it all and said that it was good. And he said, worship God. Love one another. Make good use of the world. And on day number seven, God rested. But the serpent, a sly and crafty creature, spoke to Eve. So God told you not to eat the fruit. Well, I say, take a bite, and you will be just like him. For it's not about us, but me, don't you see? So Eve took a bite, and Adam did too. And suddenly everything was mixed up. They used each other. They worshipped the world. They put me first. And when God came calling, they did not worship him, but ran from him and hid. So God came up with a plan for his hands to make things like they were. And maybe even better. So that once again, all would be good. And me would be us again. And we would, are you ready? Worship God. Love one another. Make good use of the world. He chose a man called Abraham, and took him from his home to another home. I will bless the world through your family, God promised. It's all about us. And God gave Abraham a son, Isaac. And he gave Isaac two sons, Jacob and Esau. And he gave Jacob 12 sons. And when a famine came, he took one son and then the whole family to Egypt so they would be safe. And there the family grew so large that Pharaoh turned them into slaves. They will serve me, is what he said. So God used his strong hand to set them free. He made a way through the Red Sea. He watered them and fed them and led them through the desert with fire and cloud. And he gave them rules to live by. Rules that said, are you ready? Worship God. Love one another. Make good use of the world. And finally, he brought them back to the land he gave to Abraham, where everything should have been good and all about us. But because they were also children of Adam and Eve, things got mixed up again. They used each other, and they worshiped the world, and they put me first, and they ran from God and hid. So God called upon his helpers, judges like Gideon and Deborah, good kings like David and Hezekiah, Prophets like Elijah and Isaiah and Jeremiah to lead them back to him. But the more he reached out to his people, the more he called to them, the more they ran away. And finally, he had to let them go off to slavery again, off to Babylon for 70 long years. He brought them back at last. And then God went quiet, very quiet for 400 years. It takes time to make a plan, a good plan, that is. This one was a doozy. If his people wouldn't come to him, then God would go to them. So he put on hands, the hands of a man called Jesus. And he spoke through those hands and reached out through those hands. And those hands were just like a voice, the voice of us. Worship God, he said. And his hands cleansed the temple of injustice and greed. Love one another, he said. And his hands healed the sick and welcomed the outcast and forgave the sinner and brought enemies together. Make good use of the world, he said. And his hands stilled the storm, fed the hungry, and turned water into wine. His people should have been happy. Everything should have been good. But because they were children of Adam and Eve, everything got mixed up again. And because the people in power didn't much like what he had to say about us, they put me first. And they took those hands, and they bound those hands, and they drove nails through those hands, and they pinned them to a cross, where they took hold of all the wrongs that we, in the name of me, had done. Everything that held us down, and hurt us, and wrecked us, enslaved us, and cast them away forever. And when those hands were quiet and still, they folded those hands and put them in a tomb. One day passed, then two, then three. Because they were God's hands, no tomb could hold them. No power could still them forever. So they rolled the stone away and burst out of the tomb. And when he went to see his friends, his gang of us, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, it's me. Look, see the nail prints. These are my hands." And before he left them, before he waved goodbye, he put his message in their hands. "Go," he said. "Go tell everyone about me. Tell them, are you ready? To worship God, love one another, make good use of the world. Tell them about us." And so they did, from Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth, to you and to me. And now we are his hands. That's right, us, to do his work. And one day when he returns, he will wipe away all that is mixed up and every tear with it. The work of his hands and the work of our hands will make a new heaven and a new earth, and we will worship him and love one another and make good use of that new world forever, all of us together. So why not worship him? Why not give him a hand? Here we go. That's the story. That's the big story. And that's why we worship, because of all that God has done. But I just thought it might be helpful for us to take a few bits from that story and see that worship comes, well, from whenever God changes us, from whatever we face, and forever. Yeah? So let's start with whenever God challenges us. I want you to pretend you're holding the chicken in your hand. You've already been chickens. Take a chicken and hold him like this around the neck, okay? He has his little head's up here. His little body's down here. Support his bottom. There you go. That's lovely. Very nice. Okay. Don't drop him, okay? Now what we're going to do is we're going to hand this chicken over to a tax collector called Zacchaeus, all right? Because you could pay with anything in those days. So when I say Zacchaeus was a tax collector, we're going to go, "Brock!" Are you ready? Zacchaeus was a tax collector. "Brock!" Lovely. Oh, dropped my chicken. All right. But Zacchaeus was also a traitor, you see, because he collected taxes for the Romans, you see, who were the enemies, the oppressors of his people. So when I say he was a traitor, turn to your neighbor and go, he works for the Romans. Are you ready? He works for the Romans. Lovely. Okay. And then finally, he was also a cheat. Yes? Because he took more than he was supposed to and put the extra in his pocket. Well, when I was a boy growing up and my brothers and sisters cheated at games, because like I never did, I would call for my mom and I would go, Mom! And that's what we're going to do when we do the cheat thing. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. Mom! So we put it all together. Here we go. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Brock! A traitor. He works for the Romans. And a cheat. Mom! That's right. A tax collector. Brock! A traitor. He works for the Romans. And a cheat. Mom! And as a result, people did not like him very much. Can I have a boo? Actually, they liked him less than that. To be fair, they couldn't stand the sight of him. Nice. Now, one day, Jesus decided to go to Jericho, the town where Zacchaeus lived. And even though he was a tax collector, a traitor, he works for the Romans, and a cheat, mom! Zacchaeus was kind of interested in seeing Jesus, this healer and this miracle worker. The problem was, so was everybody else in town. And as I say, they couldn't stand the sight of him. Nice. Now, amongst those people, there was the town butcher, the town baker, and the town milkman. There was Sam who sold lamb. Can we go, bah? Here we go, bah. Jake who baked cakes. Let's go, mmm. And Milton who sold Stilton. I couldn't come up for a rhyme with anything. Anyway, so we're going to go, stinky. Here we go, stinky. Lovely. Let's try it again. Sam who sold lamb, bah. Jake who baked cakes, mmm. Milton, who sold Stilton, stinky. Now, it was a great honor to have somebody important like Jesus come to your house for tea. So everybody queued up in the street, ready to ask him to do just that. Zacchaeus, however, the tax collector, brock, the traitor, he works for the Romans, and the cheat, mom, simply wanted to see Jesus and not get, you know, beat up in the process. So he sneaked behind the crowd, no problem, because apparently he was quite a small man. He climbed into a sycamore fig tree, very important that, because it was kind of a bushy sort of a tree. And he hid there amongst the leaves while the branches poked him on the forehead. Ow! Ow! On the nose, wow! And on the bottom, woo! Lovely. Let's try that again. Forehead, ow! Nose, wow! Bottom, woo! Now, finally Jesus arrived, a great fanfare and multiple dinner invitations. Come eat at my house, said Sam who sold lamb. No, eat with me, said Jake who baked cakes. I have an empty chair, said Milton, who sold Stilton. Stinky. As a matter of fact, he had several empty chairs, lots of empty rooms, and no neighbors either side. Anyway, Jesus declined all of their invitations. No, he said, I already know where I want to eat. And he walked to the sycamore tree and looked up. And Zacchaeus clung there while the branches poked him on the forehead. Ow! The nose, wow! And the bottom, woo! And finally, Jesus spoke. Zacchaeus, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm eating at your house today. Well, the crowd was shocked. And together they shouted, but he's a tax collector. A traitor. He works for the Romans. And a cheat. Mom! Jesus didn't care. Zacchaeus came down. They went to Zacchaeus' house. They had a meal together. And when they were finished, Zacchaeus came out and addressed the crowd. Well, he said, I know that I've been in some things you don't like. I've been a tax collector, a traitor. He works for the Romans, and a cheat. Mom, but Jesus has welcomed me. Jesus has accepted me. Jesus has forgiven me. So now I'm going to do things differently. If I've cheated anybody here, I'll pay you back 4 times what I took. And I'm going to give half of all my money to the poor. The crowd was amazed. And Jesus said, today, he said, today, salvation has come to this man, to this son of Abraham. And that's when everybody cheered. Yay. Even Sam who sold lamb. Jake who made cakes. And Milton who sold Stilton. Stinky, the end. Well done, everybody. Now, do you see how that works? That, you know, it's the up and down thing, the sideways things, and the outway thing. Yeah? That's how worship works. Okay, there's a recognition of God's presence there amongst them. And then the community actually has pushed the man away. But because of what Jesus does, welcoming back in, he's part of that loving one another community again, and it makes a difference to the world. That's what worship is all about. It's those three different dimensions. It happens whenever people turn to God, and you know, it happens whatever we have to face. I've got the wrong book here. Hang on a minute. Let me do this. During the course of lockdown, I had a book all about the Bible, but based on poems, kind of come out. And I thought I'd share one of you today. Now, it's quite a familiar poem, this one, but I quite like it. Okay, because it's all about when we're in difficult situations and how, you know, God is there even when life is hard. And sometimes we respond to him, we worship through lament. You know, we cry out, God, things are tough, help me. That's worship, that is. And the Psalms are full of them. And sometimes we cry out in a voice of praise in spite of the difficulties that we face. That's worship too. And this is about somebody who kind of put that into practice. Okay, now I'm going to tell you right here, okay, those of you up front can see, there is a giant in the story. As you can see, the proportions are all wrong. Those of you up front, David wasn't really like as big as the giant's foot. But it's still a good story anyway. So here we go. Now, the chorus goes like this. It goes, God, help me beat a lion. And we're going to go, rah! So here we go. God, help me beat a lion. Rah! God, help me beat a bear. And a bear's a little smaller than a lion, I guess. So we're going to go, wah! Here we go. Wah! Or maybe, hey, boo-boo. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to go, ah, okay. But when my fears are giant sized, and you look up and you go, uh-oh, here we go, uh-oh, I trust that God is there. Okay, so we put it all together, and we say the chorus too, so, God, help me beat a lion, rah, God, help me beat a bear, rah, so when my fears are giant sized, uh-oh, I trust that God is there. Here we go. David took his brothers a lunch of cheese and bread. Soldiers on a battlefield, they needed to be fed. That's when he spied a giant foot, and leg, and arm, and head, and heard the giant's challenge, and bravely stood and said, God, help me beat a lion. Rah! God, help me beat a bear. Ah! So when my fears are giant-sized, uh-oh, I trust that God is there. You dear, page-turning. Oh, my, here we go. You cannot fight that giant, his frightened brothers cried. He'll squash you like an insect. He's more than twice your size. You're just a little shepherd boy. You should be terrified. But David knew that God would help. And that's why he replied, God, help me beat a lion. Ah! God, help me beat a bear. Ah! So when my fears are giant-sized, uh-oh, I trust that God is there. So David went and told the king, I'll take that giant's dare. Then have my armor, said the king. It's standing over there. When David tried it on, he found it much too hard to wear. A sling and stones is all I need, he said. Well, and a prayer. God, help me beat a lion. Rah! God, help me beat a bear. Ah! So when my fears are giant-sized, uh-oh, I trust that God is there. The giant looked at David. He growled and cursed and roared. You send this stick-sized boy against my spear and shield and sword. I'll beat him without trying and feed him to the birds. But David reached inside the pouch where his five stones were stored. God, help me beat a lion. Ah! God, help me beat a bear. Ah! So when my fears are giant-sized, uh-oh, I trust that God is there. The giant rushed towards him, his face an angry red. David swung his sling and aimed straight for the giant's head. That's it. A little tension there. That's fantastic. The small stone struck its target. Doof! The giant fell down dead. And as his brothers clapped and cheered, David simply said, God, help me beat a lion. Rah! God, help me beat a bear. Ah! So when my fears are giant-sized, uh-oh, I trust that God is there. The end. Guys, thank you so much. You're doing such a great job participating with these things. I appreciate it. See, he's there whenever we turn to him. He's there whatever we face. That's the whole idea. He deserves our worship in whatever circumstances we're in. But he's also there, not just whenever and whatever, but forever. Forever. And with that in mind, I want to finish with a quieter story. Story I wrote a long time ago when my dad passed away. Because it seemed to me that We all needed reminding that even in the hardest times, God is there. And he's got something even better planned for us. So nothing for you to do in this one, just to listen and to enjoy. It's called Tapestry. When Danny's granddad died, Danny cried. And Danny's grand cried too. A week later, when he went to visit her, she was sorting through his granddad's clothes. That was the old brown jumper Danny's granddad wore whenever they played football. There was the faded brown cap he wore, the time he showed Danny how to hammer bits of wood into a birdhouse. And there were his big brown boots, laces adrift, that Danny had stepped into and stepped onto and skipped beside and scuffed. But the jumper was empty, the cap and the brown boots too. And that made Danny sad. "I really miss Granddad," said Danny. "I miss him too," said Gran. "But we'll see him again. Jesus promised." "How?" asked Danny. "Where? When?" "I'm going away for a while," she said. "But when I come back, I'll show you." A week went by then too. It felt like forever to Danny. And when at last he went to visit his gran again, the clothes were gone. Instead, draped over the table, there was a picture. A picture made of cloth. "It's called a tapestry," Danny's gran explained. "I made it while I was away." "I like it," said Danny. "It's pretty." There on the tapestry was the back of a house that looked a lot like his gran's, and a garden, and a shed, and lots of people. "Look," said Danny, pointing. "That's me, kicking the ball." "It's all of us," his gran smiled. "Our whole family. And your granddad, of course, building his birdhouse. I put in some other people, too, like the postman and the lollipop lady and Mrs. Martin down at the sweet shop. Oh, and Jesus. I thought he should be there, too. I didn't know what to make him look like, but I thought he'd be the one with the picnic basket." Danny ran his hand gently over the tapestry. It was made of all sorts of cloth, different shapes and shades and sizes. But what caught his attention were the trees. The leaves were shiny and new, but the trunks were woven out of old brown wool. "That's Granddad's jumper," said Danny. He looked more closely. There on the roof of the shed were patches of his granddad's faded brown cap, and there were bits of black shoelace tracing the shape of the clouds. "You asked me when we'd see Granddad again," said Gran. "I made the tapestry to help you understand. And as best as I can explain it, it's something like this. Your granddad is with Jesus, Danny, waiting for us in a beautiful place. But one day, Danny, God is going to make this world of ours all over again. Just like he did for Jesus when he brought him back from the dead. He's going to use lots of shining new things to make his new world. But I think he's going to use what's old and familiar as well. All that we've loved and cherished. The smell, the shape, and the feel of it. I think he is going to weave the best bits of what we have done into his tapestry. The arms of the jumpers that held our children, the caps we wore, and the laces we tied when we took their hands and walked with them through the woods. You will see your granddad again, Danny. He will be old and new all at the same time, but you will know him. And you will kick balls and build birdhouses and so much more. And we will all live in God's new world and share in God's great picnic forever. And she took his hand and she cried. And Danny cried too. But it was a different kind of crying altogether. Worship in three dimensions. Whenever, whatever, and forever. God calls us to live that life now and to join with him in building his beautiful tapestry. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you that wherever we are, whatever we face, you're there and we can trust you for forever. Thank you for the chance to be constantly aware of your presence, to have the chance to constantly turn to you and worship you with our voices, with our song, with the work of our hands, with our lives. And help us, we pray, to do that faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.